Now, here's a preview of Powerful Women Revealed.
Clarity is peace. The more clear we are about what we want, the more the universe will bring it to us.
Good afternoon, and welcome to WATD's Powerful Women Revealed, sponsored by Nicole Perry. You're invited to enjoy an ongoing series of uplifting, educational, and intimate discussions with a variety of powerful women that have all made the commitment to take their businesses and organizations to a higher level. These entrepreneurs have discovered their life purpose and appreciate the opportunity to share their stories with you. These women reveal their inspirations, milestones, and successes with your host, Nicole Perry.
Good afternoon and welcome to Powerful Women Revealed. I'm your host, Nicole Perry, and today we're talking all about relationships. My guest is Amy Martell, and she is the founder of WholeFamilyLaw.com. Amy specializes in mediation and collaborative law outside of the courtroom. I love that. Essentially, Amy is a holistic lawyer because she is all about collaboration and mediation. Amy helps families make important decisions and come to resolutions while maintaining their dignity and respect. Amy Martell, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much. I had such a great time last time. It's good to be back.
great energy. Really, you bring great energy, and I love chatting with you.
Well, you make it easy. So it's really
And you're really an easy guest. You're definitely an easy guest. But happy Easter, everyone. It is Easter Sunday.
New beginnings.
And I love the new thing I'm doing. I'm bringing intentions to the show. So each guest has to give me four words of intention. And your first word we're diving into is all about family. And I love that because you are all about family.
Yeah.
Everything that you do, you're thinking about everyone involved.
Right. Yes. Right.
So now before we start going into it, let's give a little brief background of your background.
Okay.
Your musical, say it again.
Music therapy.
Music therapy. Yeah. I love that. Wow. To leave that. That was such a cool gig.
It was a really cool gig. I know when I was talking with some other people, I went back home to Pittsburgh this past week, and I was talking with my old music teacher about the music therapy part of my career, which was amazing. And it will be part of my life again. And it is still in some ways part of what I do now.
It is.
You know, in a different way.
And you open the door for somebody else.
Yeah.
You pass the baton. And now you, when did you come into the collaborative mediator with Whole Family Law, and why did you decide to open your own practice?
Sure. So I went, after practicing as a music teacher and a music therapist for a period of time, I kept feeling like there was something else that I wanted to be doing, wasn't sure exactly what it was, took some time off to explore it, eventually wound up kicking and screaming, getting led into law school.
I know. I listened to our last podcast. I'm like, I can't believe everybody was having to convince you to do it.
It was nothing that I thought that I would ever want to do, and I wound up really loving it. I had a great experience at BU, and during that time found my way into mediation and learned about collaborative law, and it seemed like it was going to be a really good fit for me and a way for me to bring the listening skills that I had developed as a music therapist, this sort of improvisational listening skills, embodied listening, and bring that into, because it's all about improv.
Yes.
Mediation is very much about listening to what happens in the room, being able to hear things that aren't being said and respond to them. And clarify, you know, help people clarify, you know, what they want, what they are interested in. So, it was a great fit. I spent a couple of years working in the probate and family courts as a judicial law clerk. It became even more clear then that I was not interested in being a trial lawyer or somebody who was representing people. I did practice in that way for a couple of years, working for another attorney. It felt like a bad fit the whole time I was doing it. For me, it felt like a bad fit as far as me. I was perfectly competent representing people in court. I knew how to represent people in court, but it never felt like a good fit for the issues that were at hand for me to be arguing these in front of a judge and giving up the power to make those decisions to somebody who didn't know my client, didn't know their kids, didn't know anybody else. So in 2011, I opened up my own practice. Maybe 2012.
No, I think it was 2011.
That I opened.
I know, it goes
Thank
by
you.
Quickly,
It does
right?
go by quickly. So yeah. I opened up my own practice, whole family law, and I decided to practice exclusively in collaborative law mediation, do no litigation whatsoever.
Okay. And there is a place for that. But for you, it's all about collaboration and mediation. Mm-hmm. Now tell me, I know just as women, families mm-hmm. come in all shapes and sizes.
Sure.
What do all of your clients have in common?
Oh, a love for their kids. I mean, if they have children, and if they don't have children, a love for or an interest in the transitions that they're making, whether it's about divorce or whether it's about getting married or whether it's about having kids or deciding when kids go to college. Nobody wants there to be more drama around those transitions.
Yeah.
People want those transitions to move as easily as possible. So it's all about connection.
Negative drama. Nobody wants negative drama.
No. So
is there positive drama? I don't know.
I think there's I think that transitions can have positive drama. I think
yes.
it can be positive energy. And there's actually positive aspects of conflict. I don't think that conflict in itself is not a good thing. It's being able to use conflict and transform that conflict into whatever it is that is becoming,
and,
the next step. So using it as a catalyst for change.
Mm-hmm.
So I think everybody cares about their kids. Everybody wants the best thing for their kids. Everybody wants to have a life where they feel comfortable and successful. So it's just how you get there.
And it goes beyond the children.
Yeah.
So the children, really, when you're facing a divorce, usually there's children involved. And beyond the children, though, because now you've got two families, right? So you really have to pay attention to the mother-in-laws and the aunts and the uncles and anyone else that is going to be involved now that you've made that shift.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. And people, it's interesting. We talk about the Greek chorus in my line of work. The Greek chorus are all the people around the folks who are going through some kind of transition who are all giving them advice. Well, you should do this or you should do this or what about this? Don't do this. They all, again, same thing. They all want the best for that person. They all want to be supporting them in the way that they think is helpful. Sometimes it's not as helpful as we would hope.
Yeah, the Greek force. I'm thinking
the Greek chorus.
The Greek wedding, where everyone's making the decision.
This is like in the Greek mythology. It's the voices that are guiding the heroes, that are helping them to do certain things. And sometimes they guide them the right direction and sometimes they guide them the wrong direction. And so we're always working to kind of parse that out.
Now, we can learn so much from body language and vocabulary.
Mm-hmm.
I love that you are all about vocabulary.
Yeah, right.
How do you help your clients maintain their dignity when they're in the same room and yet they're faced with making a really difficult decision? You can see it in their body language.
Absolutely see it.
You can see them ready to blow their top.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and so I use my own body language and embodied communication a lot in the room. So I am working hard.
Yes.
Even when I'm not saying anything, probably most often when I'm not saying anything, I'm working really, really hard using my breath, using all of my intention in terms of where I place my focus, how I lean, how I use my voice.
How do you remember what you're thinking? I would be having to take notes like I am right now.
Oh, I do take notes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, I found that at this point I have to take notes on the computer because if I take notes by hand, I won't take notes because it takes too long. I type faster than I write.
Yep.
So I take notes by hand because I can do it faster. But so much of the work isn't about what is actually decided or what is actually discussed.
Mm.
It's about getting through the emotional layers to what is most important, to how to problem solve in a way that makes sense for both people and identify options that are realistic. And like you said, working through some of the emotional tensions that the people bring into the room.
And you've had enough clients now at this point for several years that, I imagine you're going to say yes, that you can sort of, feel people out and know how to get them to shift.
And sometimes it takes this is where the music therapy background comes in. So my work as a music therapist and my research was all about attunement and how early child parents and early young children attune to each other and how we can use that attunement to help shift behavior or create connections. So some of what I do is in that very moment that I'm meeting somebody, how I'm listening to how they're breathing, where the voice is in their body.
The voice is.
How high it is.
Ooh,
it's up in their chest.
Yeah.
Exactly. You hear that too, I'm sure, in this work, whether it's up in their chest.
Well, yes,
whether
I do. I mean, no, I'm just kidding.
Sometimes, with you, I'll chat fast. I'll meet you in your rhythmic patterns of your voice. Somebody who speaks slower, I'll speak slower. I'll match them. I'll meet them
mirroring.
So that they can feel mirroring, matching, and then also in training so that you can then help create connection by perhaps moving them in a different direction. So it all comes together that way.
I almost wish the children could be in the room when you're doing this with the parents, even though they're generally not.
Right. No. Yeah, most often they are not.
Yeah. But I wish they could almost, because just to see their parents transition into a better place would be such a beautiful thing, don't you think?
It would. Maybe not in the mediation room, but if there was some circumstance that, I have seen that at times. You know, I've had parents come in and do their signing with the kids present, but those are usually little kids.
Yeah.
Not older children who are aware of what their parents are actually doing.
Okay. So. All right. Well, I hope you'll stay with us. My guest is Amy Martell. She's with WholeFamilyLaw.com. You're listening to Powerful Women Revealed right here on 95.9 WATD.
When faced with conflict, many people turn to court and expensive litigation. But there is a better way. At Whole Family Law and Mediation, they help their clients resolve conflict out of court using mediation and collaborative law. Couples can efficiently come to an agreement while preserving their emotional and financial resources and protecting their families. Whole Family Law and Mediation. Compassion, collaboration, resolution. Contact them today to see if mediation or collaborative law is right for you at WholeFamilyLaw.com.
If you're looking for visibility and building relationships that lead to ideal clients and career advancement, the South Shore Women's Business Network is for you. At the South Shore Women's Business Network, our mission is to foster relationships, provide mentorship, education, and build a community to empower women. Join us for after-hours networking events such as trivia, wine tasting, and mini golf. Attend a speaker breakfast with like-minded professionals, even publish an article or offer a workshop to the members. To join us, visit sswbn.org.
Are you planning a wedding, bridal shower, anniversary, or other special event? Let Mama cook for you. The Mamma Mia's family of restaurants can handle all of your catering so you can enjoy the same authentic Italian cuisine that you experience in their restaurants. Mamma Mia's Catering offers homemade recipes priced to fit any budget. You can pick up your order before your event, or Mamma Mia's will even come to you. For more information, call any one of Mamma Mia's 6 locations or visit online at mammamias.net.
We both lie silently still in the dead of the night. Although we both lie close together, we feel miles apart inside. Was it something I said or something I did? Did my words not come out right? Though I tried not to hurt you, though I tried. But I guess that's why they say every rose has its thorn. Just like every night has its dawn. Just like every cowboy sings his sad song. Every rose has its thorn.
And you are listening to Powerful Women Revealed. I'm your host, Nicole Perry, and I'm with Amy Martell, who is with WholeFamilyLaw.com, so you can find more information there. Oh, my God, I love that song. I've been dying to play that for so long. My husband's sick of hearing it. Okay, so that brings us to communication.
Okay.
He did communicate that he was sick of hearing it, and I listened. Now, I did ask my best friend, Google.
Okay.
Many questions.
We love Google.
As I'm putting this together. And yeah. Do you love statistics?
I don't know about statistics.
Well, no, about divorce. Do you love sort of Googling and researching and hearing and, you know, just being mindful of what the statistics are?
Because
it's really enlightening.
Right. So what have you found?
Well, I did find that the top reasons couple seeks counseling, the top three, which really basically leads to divorce, because by the time you seek counseling, it's probably already.
And not everybody seeks counseling. There are some great counselors out there, and there are counselors out there that don't necessarily know how to help couples.
Mm.
They're great individually, but helping couples is a different piece. So what did you learn about the top three reasons?
And I was at a breakfast this morning, and somebody said that some counseling people will fire their couples.
Sure, sure. Yeah, yeah.
Which is not very nice. However, number one is poor communication.
Yeah, people don't learn how to communicate.
Why?
It's just, you know, we learn how to do math, we learn how to do science, but we don't learn what it means to actually listen to another person and communicate. I mean, some kids do, but it's not part of what we learn well, particularly not in this society right now.
Yeah. And the second one is the sex life has significantly changed.
Mm-hmm.
So are we not listening to each other? Are we just, there's no give and take?
Well, and different needs, I think mismatched needs and how people express it, particularly in heterosexual relationships. There's a lot of research about what people need in order to feel connection and be sexual is different between men and women.
Yeah, I need talking.
So, yeah, yeah. Well, people, right, exactly. So and men,
that's
you
my
know,
pre. I need talking.
Stereotypically, men need the sex and the connection
visual.
Before they want to talk.
Mm.
So, I mean, that's obviously, you know, a generalization, but that's some of what you hear is mismatched.
And then the third thing is holding on to the past.
Oh, that's interesting.
Right?
Right.
I don't get that. Like, you know, and well, I do get that history is generally the greatest predictor of the future.
Right.
So you have to be mindful of the past. But are people just regurgitating the past stuff over and over?
Well, the way that I frame it is that people develop an image of, so, well, let me backtrack. When we interact with another person, we have a choice. We can either see them as a whole person, a human being with all their screwed up, multifaceted aspects.
Accept them
just as we would want to be accepted. Or we can see them as an object. We can, you know, we can see them as sort of, we characterize them. We put them into a box, whether they're a box that we're better than them, whether they're a box that they're worse than us. They're the never do enough box, you know, so there's boxes that we can put them into. And what happens with couples quite often is they get into a cycle where they've each put the other person into a box based on past experiences and how they have felt in response to what that person has done and how the person has behaved to them.
Mm.
So it's a very subtle cycle of interaction where, you know, you see the other person through this lens that you've created, essentially, rather than seeing the other person as really who they are. And that's using the past as opposed to being in the present.
And it's a lens that we've created.
We create a lens. It's an image of who the other person is. Mm. It's told through our own narrative. We all want to be the heroes in our own story. Our brains have a really hard time not keeping us as the heroes. We all have big ears.
Funny.
I tell my clients, we all have big ears that hear things differently. So, and that hearing is, there's like a filter, and the filter is impacted by how we were raised, our own complexes, our own worldview.
We want to hear what we want to hear.
We hear things that we don't even realize we hear. For instance, you know, once, this is a classic situation, one spouse has the I am not as good as anybody else box, their own feeling. So one person comes, husband comes into the house and moves a glass, and the wife hears that as, oh my God, you are such a slobby housekeeper. And all the husband did was move the glass.
Yeah.
But the wife has these big ears that hear everything through the lens.
Or they walk,
and he's not even saying that.
Or they walk in the door, you know, and they say hello. Well, how come they didn't say hi? They said hello. They
said,
you know, so you can really, you know, turn something from nothing into something.
Yeah. Mm. Yep.
Now, you do so much. You offer so much. You are working so hard. Why is listening one of the most important things that you bring to the table for your clients? Because you're teaching, you're guiding.
Mm.
Why is listening really?
And it's listening in a multidimensional way. So it's not just listening to the surface level, which is where most people stop. Mm. Most people listen for the information and what they can do to respond. How can I then shape what I say to this person so that they see me in a particular way? So I'm not listening always even to the things that people are saying. I'm listening more to what are they saying, because that's where the good information is. That's where the information about what they really want. When I hear them kind of take a breath as they're about to talk about their child, or just that's
so
where the additional information
is. So you really have to read between the lines.
Always. Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
Okay.
And ask a lot of questions.
Mm.
So ask questions
to solidify what you're thinking.
And also to kind of sometimes to draw out what people are really thinking. So, you know, when someone, for instance, I think I gave this as an example last time, somebody comes in and say, well, I want 50-50 custody. So in a divorce situation.
Mm.
Well, what does that mean? Tell me more about, you know, what are some of the things that you love sharing with your kids? What makes you nervous about this transition? What parts of parenting do you feel you can already foresee missing? Mm-hmm. And so what we get to ultimately is a picture of how to create something proactively rather than this is the line in the sand of what I want and being defined by a label rather than how do we create a parenting plan where both of us get to put our kids in jammies, both of us get to do homework with the kids,
and we
identify what are the goals, what would be a successful parenting arrangement for our kids, not qualifying it. So I ask a lot of open-ended questions to get information that they wouldn't necessarily think to give otherwise.
So it really is a guided communication.
Absolutely. That's a great way to put it.
Did I coin that? I think you did. How do you implement guided communication was one of my questions.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, how quickly does the energy shift once your clients, you know, agree to come on board with you? Mm-hmm. We only have about a minute.
Okay.
How quickly does that energy shift?
It's so dependent on the clients.
I always thought you were going to say it shifts fast.
Sometimes, but it depends how ingrained it is. Depends how high is the level of animosity. You know, what are the issues that you're discussing? And it can shift back and forth in one meeting. In half an hour, it can shift from easy and laughing to really hard to crying to intense. It's not kumbaya. It is not an easy process at all for people. It's a different kind of process than a litigation or than something conflict that's unmanaged.
And there could be other things involved other than divorce. There could be cancer. There could be a death in the family.
Yeah.
There could be lots of many layers of things that are happening.
Yeah. And I mediate other things other than divorce too. Divorce is one aspect of it. Parenting, elder decisions. You know, there's many different issues that can be mediated. So,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we are halfway through our show. I know. I can't believe this goes by so fast. I hope you'll stay with us. My guest is Amy Martell. You can go to wholefamilylaw.com. You're listening to Powerful Women Revealed right here on 95.9 WATD. You know, every week you hear me talking with powerful women in and around the South Shore, and their stories totally inspire me. But you may not think that you have an inspiring story, but that's because you lived it. So I'd like to hear your story, because together we can get you more visibility and continue to inspire women here at PowerfulWomenRevealed.com.
Looking for a new and affordable way to promote your business? Let Sprout Digital Network create an eye-catching 30-second commercial starring your business, playing all day long on high-def TVs placed inside popular local restaurants, including Mamma Mia's, Sushi Joy, and Lobster Hut. Reach 100,000 people per month. Spots are filling up fast, so contact Rachel now to lock out your competition. Go to SproutDigitalNetwork.com for more info. That's Sprout DigitalNetwork.com. We make you look good.
Would you love to have a true sanctuary in your home that features all the comforts and decor that reflect who you are at your core? Deborah O'Brien is an authority on self-image, interior design, and meditation. Putting you at ease is Deborah's mission as she helps guide you through an insightful process. Deborah O'Brien teaches you the necessary skills so you can find clarity in how to display your wardrobe, hair, and makeup in a way which suits the person you truly are. Start loving the real you today. Visit unveilingyourself.com.
I'm
And we are back. You're listening to Powerful Women Revealed. I'm your host, Nicole Perry. And I love those, that last line, because to me, that says clarity. You pushed me too far.
Okay.
She got clarity. And we're talking all about clarity now.
Yes.
So, do couples really generally come to you after they've had some kind of clarity and they know it's pretty much?
It's mixed. I mean, there's some couples that come to me right when things are fresh. You know, if they're coming in to get divorced, they come to me. One person has said it's time. The other person doesn't want to be there, but also doesn't want it to go totally awry and wind up somewhere else. And so, and that's a hard place to start the process when you're kind of still dealing with all of the emotional onslaught that comes along with your partner saying that they don't want to be married to you anymore.
Mm.
So it's a real mix. I have had one couple come in to see me. They've been separated for 4 years. They had separate houses, and they had a brilliant line that I've stolen, which they said, "Yeah, we decided we wanted to wait and see where the grass got worn before we drew the paths." And so, wasn't that great? I mean, it was such a brilliant way
where
the grass got worn. Where did patterns start to emerge that made sense for their lives before they concretized it in agreement? About their parenting, it just made so much sense. They could do that. They had the level of respect. They had the resources. So they were able to make that transition without needing a facilitator to guide them through that. And so then when they came in to see me to just tie up all the paperwork, everything was done. I just had to write the paperwork for them. It was pretty straightforward.
And it's a quick process with you versus litigation.
Oh my God! Oh yeah. Yeah, people have been done. Those guys were finished with me in 2 weeks. They came in, they met with me, I drafted up the paperwork, and they filed a week and a half later. So that doesn't happen with most people. Most people, it takes 2 to 3 months on average to between the information gathering that they have to do, and the time scheduling with me, and then the drafting and filing. But still, 3 months compared to a court litigated process is nothing.
Sometimes years.
Right.
And now you mentioned just a few minutes ago that somebody will say, I don't want to be married to you anymore. Is it often that both people are in complete agreement?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean,
really?
I do have some people that both recognize that they love each other, they care about each other, but staying married isn't what they want to do. Or maybe they've become better friends, but they're not really, they want to both have the opportunity to move on.
Mm.
So I think it's a pretty much divided, maybe.
And you can even help. I think I remember you saying this the last time. You can help even if people are staying in the same house.
Sure.
Because not everyone can completely separate
all of
their belongings and really agree to trade off with the kids and take turns and stuff.
Well, sometimes there's the financial resources just aren't there to make that happen. And so staying in the house makes sense. Sometimes logistically staying in the house makes sense. They have children with complicated lives where they're going here and there. They've got 3 kids. And it's enough when they're living in the same house to try to negotiate all those different schedules.
Yeah.
So staying in the same house or taking turns in the same house makes sense. And I've mediated for people who want to stay married, who want to try to stay married, or who want to take a temporary separation and they want to work on their relationship and negotiate that temporary separation. And so they can mediate, problem solve, and create an agreement, essentially mindfully negotiating what their marriage is going to be about now and how is it going to be different from what they had fallen into.
And you will give a free consultation over the phone.
Always.
Always.
So I think it's really important that people know who I am, know what the process is about.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've done it in both ways. I've either one person calls me and I talk with them for 20 minutes or so, and then I speak with their spouse. And I've also done consultations where people both want to come in and meet with me in person at the same time. And I'm happy to work either way. But I always want to speak with both people before they're coming in and paying for me for my time, because they need to know that it's a good fit.
Yes. And how quickly do they understand that it's a right fit if you're on the phone call?
They usually do. I mean, my understanding is that most people who call me, if they're ready to go forward and they want to work in mediation, they generally, most of them work with me. I've had a lot of people who call me and then I don't hear from them for a year because they're not ready to go forward or because they want to give their marriage a second try. And then I hear from them a year later. Sometimes people have gone forward in litigation and then they realize they wish they had done it a different way. So they call me at another point in time. And sometimes people, after talking with me, actually do just stay married, and I never hear from them again.
Now, the people that do go forward with litigation, and then they decide, oh, we should have called Amy,
yeah,
or we should have gone with Amy, can you step in the middle of that,
yeah,
and they can stop the litigation
Absolutely.
Process? Light bulb just went off.
Yeah. No, I have people doing that right now who say, wait a minute. We've spent $20,000 a piece at this point in time. We don't actually have, our issues aren't that complicated. Let's sit down and try to do this together. Mm-hmm. And they can. You can absolutely put things on hold. You can postpone any kind of hearings, provided that the lawyers are willing to work with their clients. They can keep the lawyers who are advising them on the side. I love working with clients who are advised by great lawyers because it helps me do my job better.
Yes.
So I always encourage people to have lawyers, whether they're in litigation or whether they're just mediating with me.
Now, are we living in a society where we are creating the opposite of clarity? Are we just so inundated with, we got to stay together for the kids, or we got to stay together because of the house, or we got to stay together because we can't make two mortgage payments, or I don't want to downsize. Who gets the bed? Who gets the couch? Who gets the fridge? Like, are we making it complicated?
It's an interesting question. I hadn't thought about it in that way in terms of clarity. Are we making it that way?
I feel like we're creating the opposite of clarity when there's all these excuses that are in the way.
Possibly. I read an article recently that was interesting that talked about self-abandonment, that I think we are in an age where people are more likely to abandon themselves. You know, in previous generations, there wasn't even necessarily an awareness of sort of self, you know, that
morals, abandoning our morals.
Well, but also, you know, we believe that we should be fulfilled in a way that I think in previous generations there wasn't necessarily an emphasis on that kind of individual. I'm not speaking as clearly as I want about it, but I don't know that it's any different. I think we do have more permission to make changes when things aren't working. So maybe that's where we're seeing sort of differences in divorce rates. Now the divorce rate is going down.
Is it really?
It is actually going down slightly.
Well, we only have about a minute, oh my God, I have so many statistics on divorce rates.
Yep.
The 48% of those who are married before the age of 18 divorce within 10 years. It drops down to 24% if you wait until after you're 25.
See, that's the self-evolution, I think. I think you become more clear about who you are and what you want.
And then, oh my God, in America, there's one divorce every 36 seconds,
wow,
which is nearly 2,400 divorces per day, 16,800 per week, and 876,000 divorces per year. That is crazy. And, you know, 41% of first marriages end, 60% of second marriages end, and 73% of third marriages end.
Wow.
It was going in the wrong direction. I thought it was going to go in a different direction when you get married the second time.
You get better at it.
Well, because I'm lasted 24 years over here on my second marriage.
Mm-hmm.
But all right, we got to go to a quick break. I hope you'll stay with us. Amy Martell is my guest with WholeFamilyLaw.com. You're listening to Powerful Women Revealed right here on 95.9 WATD.
When faced with conflict, many people turn to court and expensive litigation. But there is a better way. At Whole Family Law and Mediation, they help their clients resolve conflict out of court using mediation and collaborative law. Couples can efficiently come to an agreement while preserving their emotional and financial resources and protecting their families. Whole Family Law and Mediation. Compassion, collaboration, resolution. Contact them today to see if mediation or collaborative law is right for you at wholefamilylaw.com.
You know, every week you hear me talking with powerful women in and around the South Shore, and their stories totally inspire me. But you may not think that you have an inspiring story, but that's because you lived it. So I'd like to hear your story, because together we can get you more visibility and continue to inspire women. Here at PowerfulWomenRevealed.com.
Are you an entrepreneur looking for help with your current bookkeeping, accounting, and tax needs? Meridian Financial Service specializes in working with individuals, small businesses, and startups by offering a full range of accounting and tax services. At Meridian Financial Service, their service levels and fast response times give them an advantage over their competition. Let Meridian Financial Service help you plan your finances. Contact them today at meridianfinancialservice.com.
Freaking out, trying to get y'all. clever now. 'Cause you can't decide what you really want from me.
And you are listening to Powerful Women Revealed. I'm your host, Nicole Perry. I almost forgot it was my cue.
Amy, a good song.
Isn't it great? I know. I was listening and writing.
I'm going to use it.
You know, and how could this love become so paper thin?
Interesting.
Really?
Yeah.
Isn't that a cool line?
That's a great line.
And now I'm loving you with a little L instead of a love with a capital L.
Mm.
Yeah. Yep. That was a pretty cool song. And I just wanted to bring the beat up a little bit because it's a heavy subject. But getting back to these percentages, some people think that it's too expensive or it's for celebrities to get a prenup.
Mm.
So they can get a prenup if it's for their, especially for the second marriage you just said on break, but also for the first.
Well, you know, people do. They think that a prenup is something that you do to basically protect a whole bunch of your assets and cheat the new spouse out of it. That's what you've heard about. The new spouse on the night of the wedding, they have to sign a prenup. And actually a prenup
on the night of the wedding.
Right, that's the classic thing. But a prenup can actually be a very good way to negotiate. What are your roles going to be? What are your expectations about finances? What are your expectations about children? And there's certain things that are enforceable at the end of the day, you know, that can be part of that contract, that if the marriage breaks down in the future, you've got an agreement in place already. And it can take into consideration some of the things that are not foreseeable, like a business growing. But it's, I think what's beautiful about the act of negotiating a prenup is that it gets people sitting at the table and having a conversation and honestly discussing things that are hard to talk about. Finances are hard.
Okay. Now, something's coming into my head right now, and I'm just going to throw it out there.
Okay.
I think I would be afraid to do a prenup because then I would be afraid that I wouldn't actually get married.
It's a fear.
It
is, right? But it's, if you have that fear that if you talk about these things that are hard, that you might not get married, maybe you shouldn't be getting married.
I know, but I'm 24 years, so, and I don't have a prenup. Yeah. No.
I mean, if you don't have, first of all, people can do, you know, postnups. You can sit down and have a conversation at any point in time. You can, if you know, there's reasons that people do a similar agreement to a prenup later on in their marriage. They're about to inherit money. Something has shifted with the way that they are living their lives. They want to make sure that somebody's change in business doesn't impact what happens if they were to get divorced, or they want to make sure that they're shielding some of their assets and protecting one spouse if the other spouse has a credit problem, things like that. There's different reasons for doing an agreement like that later in the marriage, even when people are staying married.
Postnup. I never heard of such a thing.
it's only recently in the past three years has actually been something that we know that we can do easily. But a prenup definitely. But for second marriages, particularly where people have children from a first marriage, a prenup is something that can protect your assets. It can protect your children from your first marriage.
Your relationship.
And it protects your relationship. You go in with the same expectations of what's going to happen during the marriage. How are you going to share your finances? Who's going to have responsibilities? Are you going to, you know, have a pooled bank account? You know, if one person stays home and takes care of the children, how does that impact what happens with your retirement savings?
Yeah.
All these things that people then have to talk about if the marriage breaks down. I think, my theory is that if you have those conversations in a way that is loving, that is collaborative from the beginning, not an adversarial context. So using mediation or a collaborative law process to negotiate that prenup from the beginning, you start off the marriage with the groundwork for being able to resolve conflicts around those issues.
And frankly, I think that I had a different idea in my head about a prenup.
Yeah.
And that's why I thought, oh, well, if I'm going to ask for 50%, we're just never going to get married or whatever.
Right.
And I don't even want 50%. Yeah. What if 50% of nothing is, you know, when you first start out, right?
Yeah. No, and exactly. And that's what most people think about them. They think of them as these ugly contracts that take away all the romance.
Yeah.
And you don't have to approach it that way.
Yeah.
It actually can be a very fun and loving process. One of my favorite stories is I had a couple who had gotten married. It's their second marriage. They'd actually been friends earlier on in their lives, and their spouses had both passed away, and they were getting married long into retirement, and they came in to do a prenup because they were protecting their assets and making sure that their children and their estates for their children were preserved. They were just getting married. married because they love each other. Mm. And it was one of my favorite contracts to work out because it was such a celebratory thing. They sent me pictures from their honeymoon.
Oh, I love it. And really, it's all about respect.
It is.
So we didn't even know we were going to talk about prenups just now. Yeah. We just kind of just blurted that out over the break. And really, we were going to talk about respect.
Respect.
But respect is all, the prenup is all about respecting each other's ideas.
Contribution. You know. Contribution. Yes. We are both contributing to this marriage. We are both partners.
Mm-hmm.
And we respect what the other person brings to the party.
And even if you have to agree to disagree, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good thing. You must talk about that all the time. We only have about a minute left.
Yeah, I'm not going to convince you of my story. Mm-hmm. All we can do is create a narrative together. We can create a new story together.
Okay.
So, yeah. So it's creating something new together.
Together.
Mm-hmm.
Collaboration and mediation.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, I love you. I hope I never have to use you. I have to say that. Maybe for the post-nup.
Right. I always say, I wish, you know, I hate meeting my clients because I know that they're coming to see me at a really bad time in their lives, but I appreciate that they're choosing mindfully.
And really, you want to work with somebody that is bubbly and friendly and kind as you are.
Oh,
so you're adorable to talk to, and we are out of time.
I can't believe that. We go so fast.
I know. It's really fast, and Ryan's got to get out of here, so he's probably looking at his clock. Yes, he is. All right, we are out of time. I want to thank you for being here today. Amy Martell with WholeFamilyLaw.com. I want to thank you for listening, and I hope you'll tune in next Sunday after the news at noon. Until then, I'm your host, Nicole Perry. Have a great week, and remember, knowledge is power.
Oh.